brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Good evening, everyone. I spoke at 9:30 this morning and they didn't whistle and I felt really uncomfortable because it just makes you feel like just comfy. Anyway, it's really nice to see you all again. So much has been happening. There was a group up at Southwest Rocks and different beach missions around, and from all accounts I've heard that's gone really well, and I'm keen to hear more stories about that in the next few weeks. And people have been up the coast and down the coast. A lot of people are a bit browner and some people are really sunburnt. So, I don't know, sun cream's not that expensive, buy some. Anyway, this evening we're looking at the topic of celebrating together. And the more I looked into this topic over the last few weeks, the more I just couldn't avoid the fact that that kingdom celebrating flows from this obedience and trust in God that results in joy. Celebration seems to be this outpouring of joy. So we'll look at celebrating. We'll look at what joy is and where it should be found, and we'll explore what celebrating joy looks like in the kingdom of God. But let's pray to begin. Lord, it is my prayer that you'll speak to all of us today. I pray that we will grow in our relationship with one another and with God, and that we will go from here as changing and transforming people who strive to creatively live out the kingdom of God each and every day. Teach us, walk with us, have patience with us. Amen. I love to celebrate. It's one of the best things that we can do, right? Oh, don't we love to celebrate? 2 weeks ago, it definitely wasn't last night, I was sitting up, I got up early on my couch by myself, engrossed in my laptop screen, watching Crystal Palace beat Wolverhampton 2-0. Yes, I know, it was exciting. I was clapping, I was cheering, I was yelling at my laptop screen with blue and red joy flowing through my veins. We love to celebrate New Year's. People went out and they would camp overnight to watch some fireworks, or people would go out during the day in the hot sun to sit there and watch the fireworks. I don't get that. I honestly just don't get that. It doesn't seem to appeal to me to sit out there for so long to watch some fireworks. But people love it because we love to celebrate. We love to celebrate that clock ticking over to the new year. And we celebrate all sorts of things, don't we? From birthdays to Christmas and Easter, to weddings and engagements, to new houses, to moving out of houses, to going away, to coming home, to finishing school or degrees, to getting your braces off, buying a new car or house. Whatever the reason, we love to celebrate. And we do really funny things when we celebrate too. Like we buy nice food, we invite friends around, we pop champagne, we go on holidays, we buy gifts, we take lots and lots of photos, we throw confetti everywhere, we sing, dance and laugh, and sometimes we even wear these like silly shirts with flowers on it. I don't know. But I think often Christians, we can seem to just miss the point a bit when it comes to celebrating. We end up sort of taking everything just a bit too seriously. We miss what we're meant to be celebrating and who we should be celebrating with. So we don't dance or sing or just let that joy pour out of us in celebrating all the good things in life. And I'm not saying we should go on this like big sin bender, but we also don't have to sit around not enjoying the goodness of what we have here on earth today. And we don't need to suppress the ways in which we want to express this. We can and we should celebrate. In our passage tonight, written by Paul to the church in Philippi, it begins with Paul exclaiming in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Some other translations of this have celebrate or revel or be full of joy. Rejoice always. Celebrate always. Be full of joy always. In 2017, I went over to a mate's wedding in the UK, and he had this beautiful reception venue in the middle of a lavender field. Now, the beauty of having a reception in the middle of a lavender field is that there is nothing there, and you have to take everything in, from your marquee to your floor to your kitchen to your toilets to your chairs. The list literally went on forever. And setting this all up in a field too where it's never been before was just stressful. And then add on, it's two families coming together with both different ideals for the same... And I'm not a real fine details guy. And I don't really make things look all that pretty. So with a few other boys, I was carrying stuff in. I was moving chairs around. I was setting up the floors and the lights and any like big picture stuff. That's what we were doing. But it's tiring. It's mundane. It's not very exciting. So me and my mate who was getting married decided that we needed to make it fun. We needed to make sure that we were celebrating the little things throughout the day. So whenever we finished a task and could tick it off the list, we'd do a little dance or a little boogie and just pull out some atrocious moves. And it's silly, and it was. But it was so important for us to keep rejoicing the whole time, celebrating the good things and the great day to come. And it sounds great, doesn't it? Always be celebrating, always be happy, always be laughing, always be smiling, having great food with great friends, setting off fireworks, throwing confetti, going on holidays, getting and giving gifts. It's great. But I mean, yeah, but nah. It sounds great, but we know it's not possible. Bad things happen. We don't always feel like celebrating. We can't always celebrate. Life is just mundane sometimes too. We can't always be rejoicing. We can't always be celebrating. And while setting up this wedding in the lavender field, of course multiple things went wrong. And that's hard to celebrate. Like when the festoon lights you've hung across the whole reception fall and half the globes break. Or when your mate leaves his bag on the bus and you have to chase it through the streets of London to catch up. Or when the fairy lights to guide the path snap in half so no one can see where they're going in the dark. It's funny how quickly you lose the dance. So Paul, yeah, but nah. But I think Paul's onto something deeper here. Something deeper than always being happy, always having a smile on your face. And I feel like at this point he wouldn't be standing there with a smile, Jesus loves you sign. Paul is getting at a deeper joy. A more abundant celebration. You might have heard of the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years was designated as a Jubilee year for Israel. It served as this reminder, a bit like the weekly Sabbath, that God has created everything. Everything is God's. It's also a reminder that humans are not the only owners of the land and are not to hold on to property forever. And because we are thankful to God for liberating us, we should also liberate others from their debts to us. Jesus' ministry began by quoting Isaiah 61 in Luke 4, where he proclaims this year of the Lord, year of Jubilee, consequently calling us into this perpetual Jubilee year. The year of Jubilee is this social restructuring, this radical restructuring of social arrangements. Debts were cancelled, slaves were released, crops were not planted, and property was returned to the original owner. It's this freedom from possessions. It's this freedom from the way social structures oppressed and marginalized the few. It's a new way of doing life, and it is worth celebrating. It's crazy for us to even begin to consider what this looks like. The year of Jubilee is this massive celebration of the gracious provisions of God in every single area of our life. At its core, it is this complete trust in the provision of God and complete obedience to God's plan for all people. It's entering into living life in the kingdom of God. Being an active part of living out God's kingdom. This really tangible and very clear way to be part of what God is doing and furthering his kingdom plans. The year of Jubilee is this beautiful glimpse into what rejoicing and celebrating in God's kingdom looks like. Enough for everyone. all people, debts paid, slaves free. The kingdom of God can be this term which we throw around, and I know I've used it a few times in my sermons, but what do we actually mean when we talk about the kingdom of God? Well, you can go to college and everyone has different definitions for it, and they can be super confusing and you don't really know what's making sense. So I'm not going to bore you with that, but let's just go with this. It's Will's definition, which hopefully isn't boring. Anyway, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rule sovereignly, and we must be people who accept this faithfully and obediently. And in turn, this actually shapes us. This changes us, and this shapes us to trust in God's rule now, knowing we get glimpses of his final fulfillment of his kingdom. But presently, we can only see these glimpses. And we are people who live out these glimpses, who are used by God to see his kingdom come today. So God reigns. This world, this kingdom is his. We are to acknowledge his reign over all things. And this shapes us to become people who become more and more in tune with who God is, what he has done, and what he is going to do in the future. How's this all linked to celebrating? Well, when we live in the kingdom of God, when we acknowledge that everything is his, when we are obedient to God, to what he is calling us to do, we find joy, deep, true, life-giving, abundant joy, which comes from trusting and obeying in God. Joy flows from obedience and is reliant on trust. Paul isn't hinting at always smiling or always being happy. He's telling us to rejoice because we are part of the kingdom of God. His new way of life, his restructuring of power and society, and this is all worth celebrating. And this is why in verse 5, Paul says that the Lord is near. The completion of God's kingdom is drawing near. For the time being, we have those glimpses of that kingdom, and that is worth rejoicing about. So why are we to rejoice? We are to rejoice because God is with us. This kingdom, this world is his. And his kingdom is here now and still to come. And he is using us to go and to live this out through obedience and trust in his provision and his plan for all history. The next few verses in 6 to 8 point to this deeper joy, a joy with full dependence and obedience to God. In verse 6, Paul tells the Philippians to be anxious about nothing. And in Matthew 6:25, we're also told, do not worry. But I don't know about you, I feel anxious about lots of things, like food and coffee. But we can end up anxious about lots of things, can't we? Family, friends, our house, a car, relationships, what we eat, our jobs, our future, everything in our lives can be this source of anxiety for us. Not necessarily till we become completely overwhelmed by anxiety, but we can be anxious and we can worry nonetheless. And Paul isn't saying, don't worry about any of this either. All these aspects of life are important and so special, and we need to spend time on them and make them as good as they can be. But is it what we value most in life? Does our worry blur our vision of what is really important in life? Because we will never have a carefree indifference to things until we trust God. We can never have a carefree indifference to things until we trust God. Joy comes from this trust and obedience in God. And so we will not find true joy until we discover what it means to have this carefree indifference to things of this world and find importance in the things of God's kingdom. In the Jubilee year, no one could celebrate completely unless they had this deep trust in God's ability to provide for all their needs in every aspect. Do we have complete trust in God's ability to provide in our lives that we can find this deep joy in his provisions? Or do we trust ourselves and our own ability to provide what we think we need? That we end up being anxious about things not part of God's kingdom or his plan? Being worried and being anxious about things which God just is not worried about is this big barrier we face to joy. It's this barrier to being free to celebrate God's provision and this great gift of grace. So I want to say, let's be Jubilee people. People who have such obedience and trust in God that we could just give absolutely everything and be content knowing that God will provide and that His kingdom plans are just far greater than our own. Jubilee people who celebrate what God celebrates. Jubilee people who celebrate seeing the kingdom of God grow and expand. Philippians 4:8 then goes on to say, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Whatever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, praiseworthy or excellent. Where as followers of Christ are we to find joy? Paul thinks in these things. And too often I think we can find joy by singing a certain song or having music fill us with joy. Or it can be by having the right people around us and being in the right social groups. Or it's found in exercising charismatic gifts. And as good as these things might be, true joy is not found in them. Joy is more than just this feeling which comes and goes. One minute it's there, the next it's gone. In fact, joy comes through obedience to Christ, and joy results from obedience to Christ. Without obedience, our joy will be hollow and artificial. Joy through obedience, and joy results from obedience. As we rejoice always, Paul tells the church to think about these things of above, to set our minds on God's order. God has this created order of good and excellent things. And it follows naturally that as we give our time and attention and our mind and our lives to these things, we in turn will find joy. If we think that we'll find joy by singing or praying, we will be disappointed. Yet if we fill our lives with these things which are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and if we are constantly thanking God each and every day for every one of these things, we will be joyful. A kingdom focus resulting in kingdom joy, a deep, true, life-giving joy worthy of celebrating. At the end of verse 8, Paul says, think about such things. We have this decision to make, you see. We have to decide to set our minds on the higher things. We need to work at it. It's a discipline. In fact, Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipline, he talks about all these different spiritual disciplines. And he has celebration right at the end. Celebration being this discipline which we must work on and be intentional about and strive to improve and be better on each and every day. All coming from this understanding of joy and having our mind set on God's kingdom rather than our own. Joy comes through obedience to Christ, and joy results from obedience to Christ. At the core of joy is this obedience to follow Jesus, to live His way, to live out His kingdom, to be a people who have a kingdom focus with every aspect of our lives, to be people who live in the year of Jubilee and who celebrate everything Jesus is about. This radical way of life and a radical restructuring of society. And we can talk about joy and we can talk about celebrating all we like, but I genuinely believe that it has to be deeper than that. And this Brené Brown quote rings true here. Brené is a research professor at the University of Houston and has spent the last 2 decades studying courage, vulnerability, shame, and empathy. And she says this, "We know that the way to move information from your head to your heart is through your hands. To celebrate in the kingdom of God is to be Jubilee people who get in and get our hands dirty. And are so active in living out everything that the Jubilee is about. As we're obedient to Christ, our lives will change. Our celebrating will change. And that's just the way that it should be. What comfort there is too in knowing that as we work on celebrating, as we work on finding joy in all the right areas, and when we make mistakes and figure it out, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is guiding your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So let's be people of joy and celebration, where singing, laughing, and dancing are regular, where creativity is encouraged and appreciated, where events including family, the church, and the wider community are so appreciated that they are a time of complete celebration and what a gift they are from God. Let's find joy in the kingdom of God. Jubilee joy in God's provisions. And above all, let's be a church that does this together. Joy isn't to be found alone. Following Jesus isn't to be done solo. Let's be people who celebrate the joy we have together as one church, one body. This year, let's celebrate the little things. Let's celebrate the good things. And let's be intentional about celebrating our relationships all together. Over this summer period, it's funny how we all seem to stop coming to church. We don't have a 6:30 service or 4:30 for a bit. And we find other things to do. A lot of time is spent with family and on holidays and doing great things. But I tell you what I've missed the most. I've missed community. I've missed deeply being able to come together and sing and worship and laugh and share life and eat meals together. There's something about it which is so vital to what it means to be a Christian, to be part of this body, this church. It's a gift from God. I have this newfound appreciation just for the need for people around me who spur me on, who pull me up, and who try to live out the kingdom in creative ways together. And my goal for this year is to celebrate in community more. To be so aware of actually just what a gift it is, not to take it for granted as life gets into the rhythms. To be so thankful to God of the beauty which it brings. And I hope this will lead me to this greater understanding and deeper joy, which I can celebrate as a gift from God. I can't wait for our Bible studies to start up again. What a gift they are. Each week together, doing life together, following Jesus together and celebrating the joy and hope that we have together. I can't wait for the young adults retreat, a full weekend away together. It's amazing. What a gift. A great time together to kickstart what can be a big year, a time to grow as a family and as a body together. Let's get around each other and get around the year ahead. Let's celebrate all those little things and not take anything for granted. Let's be so immersed in what Jesus is calling us to do and what the kingdom of God is pushing us into that we find this deep joy and this deep celebration, all doing this in community together. Let's be intentional about celebrating. Let's work on it. Let's work on finding joy, finding those good things to celebrate, seeking them out, and taking time to stop and to immerse ourselves in what God is doing, all the great gifts which He's given us. And above all, as we celebrate everything, let's be thankful for the gift of grace from which all these good things flow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you reign. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you give us glimpses of your kingdom here today. Thank you that you use us to further your kingdom. Lord, we long for the fulfillment of your kingdom. But Lord, we pray now that we might be Jubilee people, people who are obedient to you, that we might find what it means to have deep joy in you, joy worthy of celebrating. Lord, may we be constantly changing and transforming to know you more, and to live out your kingdom more and more every day. Amen.
Please stand. We're going to keep singing.